began, I truly understand that God shows no partiality. The reading from the Acts of the Apostles is the culmination of the story between St. Peter and Cornelius. Do you recall this story? Peter was in a town a few miles away from the Gentile centurion Cornelius. Both men had a dream, and it ended up bringing Peter to the house of the centurion, Roman. After seeing what God was doing within the household of this Gentile, Peter says the words we heard from our own reading. Now, this is significant for a couple of reasons, both celebratory and cautionary, like all good Bible stories. First, the celebratory bit. The story reminds us that we are, in fact, in the season of Epiphany, that time of the church year where we celebrate God being the Father of all, Jew and Gentile all alike. We celebrate that all people are, in fact, the children of God, even if they don't want to be, even if they could care less, even if they've never heard the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter. Anyone who has ever been born, anyone alive now, and anyone to be born stretching into the future is a child of God. And that comes with blessings, with rights, with gifts, and commands that are bestowed upon that person. The blessings and honors are easy for anyone who believes to digest. Last week we spoke of the blessings reserved for the heavenlies that are provided to believers here on earth. We merely have to use the wisdom that God has given each one of us to see what God has done for us. And now the commands that come with the honor. Well, as we know, we have many commands from our Lord Jesus, but we can summarize them in two statements known as the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The Great Commandment. The Great Commission. In the Great Commission, Jesus said, go and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have commanded. These two summary commandments, many might argue, have nothing to do with celebration. In fact, they sound like a lot of work, but this is not so at all. They are celebratory in their very core because they are grounded in service to the one true God. I suspect that those who have trouble with these two summary commandments are those who perhaps have not quite understood or even accepted their place in created order. If pride abounds unchecked in us, then the only one who gives commands is us to ourselves. The ego of the human being. Think about that. It reminds us of the great refrain in the Old Testament book, Judges. The phrase is, there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Isn't this how it is when we forget who we are and whose we are? There was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. We begin to act as if we are creator. We are God. And boy, doesn't that sound like the Garden of Eden all over again. Sure enough, the story in Acts that we just heard reminds us of the blessings of this life. And as promised, we will turn to the cautions. We have to remember that this was a tremendous leap for St. Peter to say the words that we heard. Think of the most cherished belief you hold, the one that is the cornerstone, the foundation of who you are, your very being. And then imagine that God Himself tells you that it's not going to be that way anymore. Devastation would not be too strong of a word to use in a situation like that. This story gets to us because it shows us the human element that is exposed. Think of it this way. Humans tend to isolate themselves from one another. Now, not all do, but it is an observable human trait that we wish to be with others that are like us, who share the same identity traits as we do. Now, on the sunny side, we Christians should want to be with other believers when we're not doing our own ministry so that we can recharge our mission batteries in a safe place. But there is a darker side to this. When people gather together in a group, the group tends to want to protect the distinctiveness of that group. Now, this is not hard to understand at all. This describes how gangs work in our schools and criminals work in our streets. There's no mystery here. Many times, people will find it difficult to be with others who are significantly different from themselves. They become fearful of the rise of the new group within the community, that the new group will want to change things. And this can be very, very upsetting to those who want everything to remain the same, even though we know that everything changes. Nothing remains the same. If it does, it dies or decays. It's about group pride, prestige, identity, and even prejudice. Some churches are like this, intolerant of other believers or suspicious of those who come and don't fit the right mold. For Peter, think of this, for Peter, a devout Jew, to say that God shows no partiality would have been a complete slap in the face to every Hebrew since Abraham himself. God himself rescued the slaves of Egypt and set them apart as his own people. So you see, it really is about group pride, prestige, identity, prejudice. God himself brought Peter to a new understanding of what God wanted. It required everything that Peter held dear about his identity as a Jew and about how God works in his life. You see, he had to get up and get right on over the idea of how God worked in his life before. God gave him a new command, a new vision of the kingdom coming. God is willing to accept all who turn to him. The question is, will Christians accept all who turn to God? Churches have a hard time with this, a very hard time with this, mainly because the church is composed of us, regular human beings trying to fight against the more base aspects of our very nature and embrace the blessings and cautions that we spoke of earlier. So the question for St. Mark's in Epiphanytide is this: who are we going to be? Are we going to be the ones who protect what we don't own anyway? Our faith? Like some child keeping his favorite toy hidden away so that it remains pristine for himself only, even as it deteriorates from not being used? Or are we going to take the stories we have heard seriously and take up God's challenge to live the supernatural life? Live a life where we allow Christian pride, Christian prestige, Christian identity to transform us into an ever-welcoming community. A community where hope in Christ is abundant, where it is preached, and where it is demonstrated to others in our daily life. Will you pray? Father in heaven, who at the baptism of Jesus in the river Jordan didst proclaim him thy beloved Son and anoint him with the Holy Spirit, grant that all who are baptized into his name may keep the covenant they have made and boldly confess him as Lord and Savior, who with thee in the same Spirit liveth and reigneth, one God in glory everlasting. Amen.